Will and Eric, you guys good?
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming down to the city council meeting. I ask that we all rise for the pledge to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now, the clerks call the roll.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Present.
Dr. Enix.
Present.
Ms. Squeak.
Present.
Ms. Leon. Dr. Van Wert.
Present.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Present.
And Mr. Bloom.
Present. Before we get started tonight with the meeting, we have a couple citations honoring a few recent employees who retired. After I read the citation, there's a couple who are in attendance tonight, so if you want to come forward to receive the citation then, and you're also welcome to make comments if you'd like. We're going to start with Devin Knoll. I believe Devin is here tonight. So whereas the residents of the city of Bethlehem have been served by a dedicated, diligent, and talented member of the Bethlehem Fire Department for more than 37 years, and whereas Captain Devin Knoll, who started with the fire department in 1986 and retired in 2023, has during the course of his employment provided the utmost and reliable and outstanding service to the fire department and to the residents of the city of Bethlehem. Now therefore, be it resolved by the council of the city of Bethlehem that Captain Devin Knoll be extended the gratitude of the city of Bethlehem, which has benefited from his more than three decades of service and the special contributions he has made to promote public safety and protect the lives and property of Bethlehem residents. Be it further resolved now that Devin is retired, he can relax and enjoy all that life has to offer him. And be it further resolved that Devin be extended every good wish for a long and satisfying retirement.
It's been my pleasure to serve the people of Bethlehem.
Thank you. Our next citation this evening is for James Zahn. So whereas the residents of the city of Bethlehem have been served by a dedicated and diligent member of the Department of Public Works Grounds Bureau for more than 30 years, and whereas James Zahn, who started with the city in 1993 and retired as a maintenance worker too in 2023, has during the course of his employment provided the utmost and reliable service to his department and to the residents of the city of Bethlehem. Now therefore be it resolved by the council of the city of Bethlehem that James Zahn be extended the gratitude of the city of Bethlehem, which has benefited from his more than three decades of service. Be it further resolved now that James is retired, he can relax and enjoy all that life has to offer. Be it further resolved that James be extended every good wish for a long and satisfying retirement.
It's my pleasure to serve the city and make it a better place for everybody around.
Lastly, we have a citation for Charlie Weigold, who won't be here tonight. We'll make sure Charlie gets it. Moving on to our agenda, City Council will be meeting in executive session with the administration at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday, June 20th, to discuss personnel matters. Continuing on to the approval of minutes for our May 17, 2023 meeting. Any comments on minutes? Minutes stand approved. Moving on to public comment, as is custom, we'll start with any subject not being voted on with a 5-minute time limit. Just a YouTube reminder to our local and global audience that if you start the meeting after 7 p.m., you can scroll ahead to the live feed of the meeting. So we'll start with anyone who signed up in advance on anything not being voted on, then I'll go around the room and invite anyone to make comment. Our first speaker signed up this evening is Paul Fondler.
Good evening. My name's Paul Fondler from 413 Grandview Boulevard. And my topic is the intersection of West Broad Street, Hanover Avenue, and Eaton Avenue. It's a dangerous intersection, and I know we did have signs up about 2 years ago, and the one sign was knocked down by a vehicle out of control, and it was never replaced. And what I'd like to bring up is that we should go back and redo the paintings on the macadam that said, you know, slow, and I think you should add 25 miles an hour, and do the markings on the macadam. And secondly, I think that the sign on the Bethlehem side, coming up from Bethlehem on Erie Place, the sign should be put back up with the speed limit. And the third is coming out of Allentown. They put a sign up on a pole that's on the west side of Juanita Street. And they have the speed limit, and then they have an arrow that there's a curve coming ahead. Well, it's probably a sign that doesn't get noticed too much by the people driving. And that's probably the most dangerous part of this intersection right now. So I'm proposing that another sign be put closer to the curve and duplicate what the sign says at the intersection, 25 miles an hour with a curve sign on it. And I would just like to see these things put up now because of the Hanover apartments that are going to be going in. It's going to have 550 cars. And of course, that whole intersection is going to have to be renovated because it can't take that many more cars. And I have a son that lives in Quakertown. I'm getting information from him. A developer was putting in a bunch of housing units near this one intersection. So they were required to put a roundabout in. And he said it works terrifically. So I think that's a possibility at this intersection. It would have to be engineered, and I think that would really work. And basically, that's all I have to say. I just have... I just marked up two prints to give you an idea what could be done. I'll show this to you.
Can we keep these, Mr. Fondler?
Yeah. See, here's the sign here. I'm recommending a second one closer to the curb.
We'll pass this around.
And then...
For those of you that could not hear, because I understand, as we have a YouTube audience, he's pointing out where a sign is currently located and indicating where he believes the sign should be going.
Thank you, Mr. Fondler.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fondler.
Here, sir.
Our next speaker signed up tonight, Brian Solapsky.
Good evening, members of council, city administration, and those in attendance. My name is Brian Solapsky, president of Bethlehem Firefighters Local 735. I've been a Bethlehem firefighter for 26 years, and like my brothers and sisters here with me, take great pride serving the citizens of the city. Listen, I do not necessarily want to be here. sorry. I am not the best public speaker, as you can see. I prefer watching these meetings on YouTube, sitting on my recliner at work. But overall safety and well-being of our members is my number one priority. Over the past few years, our relationship with Fire Chief Warnocky has been on a decline. I have tried to address our issues directly with Chief Ockey, city administration, and the mayor, but received excuses after excuse. I have been left with no other choice than to bring the issues directly to you. We understand no union and administration see eye to eye but this is way beyond that. This is a membership body and has lost confidence in Chief Aki's ability to lead this department. This is not just me talking. On May 15th and May 18th, based on the laundry list of stuff that I will get out later, we conducted a vote of no confidence. Out of our current membership of 95, 88 members supported the vote of no confidence of Chief Aki. With only 4 members supporting the chief, and 3 members did not participate in the vote. This decision was not made in haste, but rather a result of frustration at the lack of effectiveness leadership of the fire chief. Poor communication, absent plans, and threatening work environment has left our members of Local 735 in doubt of his competency as a leader. During the 2022 budget hearing, Chief Aki debated with council how many firefighters should be hired. What Chief Aki failed to mention was the civil service list where applicants are hired from expired over a year ago. And there would be not enough time to create a new list in time for Allentown's February Academy. All the grievances we have submitted to Chief Aki are denied and sent to the next step because he does not want to deal with them. We never had a chief in the past that denied 100% of grievances submitted. Chief Aki has even resorted to threats during some meetings, telling us that he would hire less overtime shifts and mutual aid grievances were taken to a higher step or disband special teams. It doesn't stop with the body as a whole. Individual members have been retaliated against after filing grievances. We had members afraid to even show up at a no confidence vote for fear of retaliation. There is a morale issue and toxic work environment steaming from the lack of leadership Chief Aki provides. After losing a firefighter to Allentown in March, something that had never has happened before, we decided to conduct a climate survey to gauge how the membership is feeling. This is disseminated to our membership in April 2023 with an 85% participation rate. We asked if there was a morale issue. 98% agreed, with only 2% answering neutral. When asked if Chief Aki provides a positive working climate, 95% disagreed, with 5% answering neutral. Morale is low, and our memberships are taking the ineffectiveness of the leadership and vocalizing it among the brethren. This is an infectious plague that affects focus, dedication, and motivation to be at our best. A member that works in fear and criticism is and reprimanded does not exhibit their full potential. Our membership is calling for a leader that is committed to working with us and submitting improvements rather than separating himself from the further dividing our department. Local 735 is requested new leadership with a chief who is willing to work, support, and lead us into the future. My members and I have lost faith, confidence, and trust in Fire Chief Warren Aki. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Salapsky. Our next speaker signed up is Artie Caratola.
Hi, I'm Artie Caratola, 813 Lawford Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I'd like to speak on a few things that the city of Bethlehem may want to consider on some suggestions to make our city a greater city. One thing, and we could be a trendsetter for other cities to maybe do the same thing. When it comes to people filling out resumes for jobs, when it's stated that Asian, white, Caucasian, Hispanic, that should be taken off of the thing, off of the resumes. That's an opening for racism. And and they should be able to put it, if they want, if it's they're applying to a Mexican restaurant and they put down, I am Mexicano. Okay, they could put that on there because That's basically what they want, that's what they have. But the thing is, to be asking that is totally leaving it open for racism, anti-Semitism, anti-Christianism, everything. That's got to go. That's my opinion. Whatever you think. If you want to add that, get rid of that, at least in the city of Bethlehem, that, I think that would be a good thing. Also, one other thing. When it comes to politically, running for office, I'm choosing to... I could have been on Democratic ticket. I could have been on Green, whatever, you know. I mean, people should be able to be accepted for the job that they can do, not because they're Democrat or Republican or anything else. I think in Bethlehem we should eliminate that and make it that people are just voting for the person that is. There's no party. Also, when it comes, of course, I being Italian heritage, I love talking about my Italian history, but to be talking about it politically, so I would get votes for other Italians, I don't think that's proper. And I don't know how you people feel that are not Irish, but when you hear the comment, we have a good Irish Catholic man as president, what's wrong with that statement? Many things. One thing, what about good Italian Catholic? What about good German Catholic? What about a good Jewish president? But what, man? How about a good woman president? You know, like, that is, these comments, certain comments like that should be considered, if they're written, there should be a fine in something of that nature. Anything that opens up any kind of racial or thing about religion in politics, even in the press, when it goes to political things, it should be really, there should be some kind of penalty going on with that, because that opens up a lot of controversy that we don't need. Because one thing for sure, we gave up our rights of being Italian, Irish, German, when we became U.S. citizens. We are Americans, and we should be proud that we're Americans, not proud that we are of a certain race or ethnic group. And let's keep separation of church and state happening in Bethlehem, and emphasize it, and push it, promote it. But yeah, definitely starting with the resumes, I think that's a good start. And hey, if you're a certain race and you're celebrating with your own family or friends, fine. But to make it a political thing, or make it, oh, you're going to accept them because of such and such, I don't think it's proper. That's my opinion. Take it or throw it away. God bless you.
Thank you, Mr. Caratola. Our next speaker signed up, Ms. Angela Mitchell.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Angela Mitchell. I reside at 430 Cherokee Street, Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And first, I want to thank you all for cleaning up our street. Finally got our street clean, but some of the cars didn't move, but they got ticketed. And so now we need to clean up the drains at the end of the block because they're clogged. The other thing that I'm concerned about is the cross sections. One, the corner of Dakota and Cherokee Street, the corner of 4th Street and Cherokee Street, and the corner of Cherokee and Delaware Avenue and 3rd Street. We need to have stop signs And we do need to place a speed bump in the middle of the block of 400th Street. There's more car accidents happening, and because people are not stopping. The stop signs are on Cherokee Street, but not on the other side. So I would like to see that a stoplight will be placed at the Cherokee and Delaware Avenue and 3rd Street, because when traffic is heavy, the cars cannot get out. So, and the other thing that I'm concerned about, walking over the bridge again, there's a mattress on the bridge. And then there is a house on 502 Pawnee Street. They have this garbage thing outside, and it's been there for 2 months. So I would like to see that we keep the city clean, and I appreciate everything that you do for us.
Thank you, Ms. Mitchell. Next speaker summed up this evening, Mr. Alex Hirsch.
I'll be brief. I'm up to 324 days. Please help. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. Our next speaker signed up this evening, Mr. Joseph Helbley.
Won't be quite as brief. My name's Joseph Helbley, and I'm the president of Lehigh University. And I'm pleased to share with Council Chair Cologne, the members of City Council, Mayor Reynolds, and fellow Bethlehem community members and residents, an update about Lehigh University's new strategic plan, Inspiring the Future Makers, a plan that was launched today. The plan's built on three core goals designed to lead Lehigh to innovate, to be forging partnerships with the local community, and to be even more outcomes focused. Goals that as core elements also include fostering belonging, cultivating partnerships, and strengthening community. Working together with broader communities not only helps us better understand and prioritize the work that we do at Lehigh in research and education, it also helps us as the university understand how we can contribute to the community and communities of which we are a part. The vital partnerships that we build and the relationships that we craft within the Bethlehem community are at the heart of Lehigh's plan. Through investments of time and leadership, Lehigh will work to strengthen our engagement in community service and strategic partnerships that will contribute to Bethlehem's in the Lehigh Valley's economic and social vitality. Bethlehem businesses are integral to the overall health and well-being of the South Bethlehem community. And as part of our work, Lehigh is also committed to supporting educational opportunities that enhance entrepreneurial opportunities and ultimately aid in business creation for the local community. In addition, we've identified an opportunity to further align Lehigh's efforts to support the vibrant Bethlehem community through one of six core initiatives. And we call this initiative very specifically and intentionally Enhancing the Shared Bethlehem Experience. This initiative will include expanded partnerships and community engagements throughout South Bethlehem. By making access to the campus more porous and welcoming, we will make programming more accessible on the Asa Packer campus. We seek to attract the brightest student talent from the Lehigh Valley to apply to and to attend Lehigh, and we will make clearer the impact of our outreach and will enrich our communities as a result of this partnership. Our measures of success in specific implementation and operational plans will be developed throughout this summer and fall. We're excited and energized to work collaboratively with each of you, as well as many other engaged community leaders, to bring this part of our plan to life. If anyone would like to read the full plan, as I said, released earlier today, including descriptions of 3 core goals and 10 underlying initiatives, it's now publicly available at lehigh.edu/strategic plan. We look forward to working with all of you, and we thank you for your time.
Thank you, President Helbling. That exhausts our list of everyone who had signed up in advance. So what we'll do is go around the room. If anyone wants to make comment and didn't have a chance to speak, again, this is anything not being voted on this evening with a 5-minute time limit. We'll start to the left. Was there anyone to the left who wanted to make comment? Seeing none, I'll turn to the wide center, work my way around. Mr. Shire.
Bill Shire, 1890 Eaton Avenue. Recently, I was chatting with some folks about the recent and continuing migration into Bethlehem. When I expressed concern about the number of migrants, one of them said, "Well, we can't build a wall." Then all 3 of them laughed heartily. Later, I recalled a saying from my years as a management consultant, "Half the solution to a problem is correctly defining the problem." Obviously, the problem is not whether or not to build a wall, but the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission predicts that 100,000 people will move to the Lehigh Valley by the year 2050. My conversationalists might feel that the real problem is how do we build enough appropriate housing and time for the people who want to live in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem has almost 10% of the population of the Lehigh Valley, so it might attract 25% or more of the migration. I'm showing a little bias in favor of Bethlehem here. Raising its population to about 100,000 for an average of about 1,000 per year. Even without variances and rezonings, there may be enough room in the zoning ordinance as it now exists to accommodate the migrants. In addition to the 20 or so apartment buildings that have been built, proposed, or somewhere in between, half of which are in the south side, there's additional wiggle room in the 2 denser residential zones, exemplified by 2 very recent projects where a single family home has been replaced by garden apartments. One of these projects is on Madison Avenue next to Memorial Cemetery, and the other is on Eaton Avenue between Ralston and Primrose. If this continues, there will be fewer homes in the city for the couples in the apartments who want to start a family. But the zoning ordinance is not chiseled in stone tablets. It can be adjusted as the people of Bethlehem see fit. At a very bare minimum, the comprehensive plan that last updated in a dozen years ago should be updated and be a real guide for a change. But this is still not the real problem. The real issue, the real question, is whether or not we, the people of Bethlehem, want to see our city change in this way. Clearly, increasing the population to 100,000 will lose some of the small city character that Bethlehem now has. Some say Bethlehem is losing its soul. More people will mean more activity, more kinds of activities, more in liveliness, more stimulation. On the downside, there will be more noise, less sky to see, more pollution, and more congestion, leading to more aggressive driving. For example, I have seen 3rd Street westbound at New Street, backed up two whole blocks to Webster Street during evening rush hour. Since it seems to be singles and couples moving here, Bethlehem will become less of a family-oriented city. On the other hand, restricting population growth will put additional pressure on rents, making the separate issue of affordable housing even larger. Whatever the answer, the people of Bethlehem should discuss and resolve now the question of population size before the migrants and the developers decide it for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Is there anyone else in the center? Yes, in the front.
Mary Jo Cole, Grandview Boulevard. Didn't plan on speaking tonight, but I'm totally off with anything that's been proposed. I would just like to propose a moment of silence for the 79th anniversary of D-Day and all of those that sacrificed so much for us to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. McCool. Is there anyone else going from left to right who wanted to make comment this evening? Yes.
Hi, Terry Koiber, 345 Grandview Boulevard, Bethlehem. Mayor Reynolds, thank you so much for apologizing on my behalf last week, or 2 weeks ago. And I would just like to apologize for not mentioning the fact that as I complain and whatever about this apartment complex that is being proposed in our neighborhood, that Mr. Deschler is fighting for us, and I just wanted to say that I really appreciate that. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Is there anyone else going from left to right that wanted to make comment this evening? Mr. Antalix?
Because of my quick statement, okay? I think people need to know this. When I came back to Bethlehem, I started doing research on the history, and at that time, the president of Lehigh, way, way back, said, I'm the president of this university. We got nothing to do with the city. We are here to educate students. And based on what I heard this evening, that's quite a departure.
Congratulations, sir.
Stephen Antonix, 77 Ridge. The following, after a number of careful reviews is an accurate presentation of a council member's comments from the committee development meeting of May 23. Hence, I feel obliged to respond because I felt comments were directed toward me. Quoting, I've heard a lot lately about the lack of transparency and other such assertions, and I just want to say that holding a council affords these great opportunities to deep dives into topics we don't know anything about, whether it's affordable housing or solar or top of a warehouse or how to plan out a great extension of the Greenway or what is a semiconductor chip and how does the CHIP Act work. I mean, we spent an enormous amount of time finding out this research. And that's not back office dealings. That's nothing but doing due diligence and finding out what we need to know in order to make our vote for what is determined to be the best interest of Bethlehem. And anyone who tries to tell you that there's lack of transparency can tell you something, because I've never seen a council so dedicated to understanding problems and talking about them. And that's why we have these committee meetings and why we listen to public comment. End. The agendas over the last year have reflected 25 mayoral appointments to various boards and commissions, which include human relations, zoning, fine arts, housing, and different authorities. of these 20, these were 21 of these were the for these different committees. Four of these appointments were to historic boards. 25 were routinely read and voted and approved with little or no comment by council. The four historic positions on the agenda were never read before council, with council never questioning why they were removed from the agenda. The question now seriously becomes, how did the administration gain knowledge that these candidates would not be supported? The absence of these answers to this question raises a question of transparency, which I have brought up before this council ad nauseum number of times, and no response. It is the business of the citizens and must be considered in open forum, which this is. In the past, this speaker has been commended by some council members for having presented much historic city data to council to implement their deliberations on difficult issues. In the council's members' comments on May 23rd, they associate the term research along with the term transparency. The terms are incongruous. As I have spoken to you from this podium, I've never used the word history other than in a positive, supportive manner, but I have to use the word transparency for the reasons I have said a number of times. As I repeat again, the appointments to the historic boards are key in importance because they directly affect development. So, this transparency, not asking the questions why it's not there, has to be addressed and keep the issue on the issue, not research, but transparency. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Antalos. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment on anything not being voted on this evening? Turn to the right. Thank you. That's going to conclude our first public comment. Just a reminder, as we move through the agenda, if anyone wants to speak with any members of the administration or council after the meeting, you're welcome to hang out until we conclude tonight's agenda. Our next public comment is for anything that is being voted on tonight, any ordinances or resolutions. We have one speaker signed up, Linda Robertson.
Hello, my name is Linda Robertson. I live at 719 Jennings Place, 18017. I'm concerning the bill number 19-2023, Zoning Map Ordinance 119 Technology Drive, rezoning from IR to CB. I have a longtime concern about affordable housing in Bethlehem and the Greater Lehigh Valley. Tonight's vote, I'm sure, will follow all the rules, and I wish good luck to the developer at the Southside IQE site. I listened to his presentation last month about walkways and outdoor sculpture, exercise facilities, although there seems to be a perfectly good exercise facility across the road, and decorative elements for the building facade. I would have been more impressed if the developer had said, I know we have no obligation to offer apartments below market rate, but our company pledges to offer 25 such apartments because we believe in income equality. He didn't say that. And by the way, it's not too late to do that. I wanted to say to council tonight that there will be a next time. You'll vote tonight about this ordinance, but there's going to be another struggle, another vote over zoning and affordable housing units. So I'm asking council and the administration to be proactive when it comes to all things housing, including zoning, locations, and a problem that's not going to go away. I encourage the administration to actively pour over the housing stock, the properties that perhaps the city already possesses for whatever reason, and to consider using or bidding on available open land parcels that come on the market. I understand that the three mayors of Bethlehem, Allentown, and Easton have already begun to confer on this very topic, and that's really great. If you need citizens to serve on a planning committee or to do legwork, put out the call. You will get a response because there are a lot of people interested in this. I believe that Bethlehem has an opportunity to do something really wonderful about housing if you go with partnerships. I think you can create a housing showcase project that could be a model for the Commonwealth or even the nation. And you may ask, who are these partners? How about calling a meeting of churches, many of whom own already a lot of open spaces in our town? How about adding nonprofits with expertise such as HOM, the Housing Opportunity Movement, which did great work on East 8th Street and Ridge Street in the 2000s and still exists? How about calling for help from CACLV, Community Action Committee of Vallejo Valley? What about Habitat for Humanity? We have a quality of life at stake here. I think it would be very appropriate to sponsor a public forum, including all of the above organizations, and brainstorm this problem. What Bethlehem does not have is time. We can't sit back and be complacent. If we lose one battle over affordable housing because of zoning, there's always going to be another opportunity. Well, that's true until there's no more land to be had. And I guess that's where we queue up Joni Mitchell's The Big Yellow Taxi. And everybody sings they paved paradise and put up a parking lot. You don't know what you've got till it's gone. So good luck with your vote tonight. And remember that once you lose quality of life, it's really hard to get it back. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Robinson. Was there anyone else who wants to speak on anything that is being voted on this evening? I look to the left. I turn to the center. Server in the very back.
Good evening, Council. My name is Matthias Fenstermacher, and I'm one of the principal partners over at Surface Development. I just want to take a few minutes and highlight some of the facts of this rezoning that that's before you tonight that you're going to be voting on. Housing is the number one issue in the city of Bethlehem. Many of you on this board have agreed that there's a significant housing shortage. Housing in terms of affordability and availability is a national problem. We've provided 5 studies that show more housing results in lower housing costs. I've also provided personal examples of our property on how we monitor and adjust pricing for competition in the market. Yes, jobs are important. However, with the Lehigh Valley unemployment, it's at its lowest rate since 1976. Right now, housing is the number one issue in front of us. There's still a home for industrial manufacturing uses on the south side. We've shown you 2 buildings alone in LVIP 7, of which they're nearly the same size as IQE, that are available for immediate occupancy. 2.5 square miles of industrial uses still remain. In addition, current uses are grandfathered into the zoning changes. So in the event an incredible new user emerges, we are open to entertaining them prior to breaking ground on this redevelopment. This is the perfect location that can handle a denser redevelopment. It finally takes pressure off of the historic district. Parking is available directly adjacent to the site, and construction will not have impact on neighboring streets and businesses. At the committee meeting, my partner offered to auction off the equipment from the site and donate the proceeds to Affordable Housing Fund. I want to repeat this point. We will auction off the equipment and donate to the housing fund, and we'll set a minimum of $100,000 for this. That, at a minimum, will house five families for an entire year. The mayor's office has written support of this project. City planning has voted unanimously for support of this project. Lehigh Valley Planning Commission has expressed their support for this project. The city's own comprehensive plan lays out this exact parcel for rezoning. Hopefully, with your vote tonight, we'll have your support as well. Appreciate your consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the center who wanted to make comment on anything that council is voting on this evening? I turn to the right. Is there anyone to the right you going to make comment on anything we're voting on tonight? Sure. Oh, Mr. Shire, I apologize.
There's not a lot more to be said about the rezoning, except perhaps the price of the property. I have heard that the original price was $9 million, but has been reduced to $6.5 million. Perhaps if the price were further reduced, it could be purchased by a business, possibly by another semiconductor firm, which could use the clean room. Here's another instance where profit comes into conflict with planning. In the 20 years since I came back to my hometown, profit has generally won over planning, but maybe not this time. In response to the previous speaker, I said at a previous meeting that jobs in the industrial park are a good thing, but they're not as convenient for transportation to and from the job as the location under discussion. Yes, there is a housing crunch, but as I tried to say a bit earlier tonight, that's not the real problem. The real problem is how big do we want to be? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shire. Again, was there anyone in the center who wants to make comment on anything that we're voting on tonight? Mr. Antalik.
Thank you, Mr. Sharia, for a little thoughts. Again, Stephen Antalik, Senator Sinridge. At that meeting of the 23rd, there was a procedure which I took great offense to, that public comment was at the beginning. Usually public comment is at the end of the meeting after we hear the presentations of those involved in the issue. So comment was made then that people are going to come to Bethlehem and you can't stop them. Now that's really a very dangerous term. This development will be high-end, beyond the reach of Southside residents. So who'll come here? People from close by metropolitan areas where the cost of living is extremely high and take advantage of the lower cost of living here, including residents and living. So what does that make them? Transients. They won't be here at lunchtime because they'll be at work somewhere distant. What is that doing? The studies that have been done for the South Side in the past, I forget the name of the studies, but they said that the core of any community is single-family homes owned by the residents. That's the stability factor. If you drive to the South Side core, you don't see single-family homes, you see student housing. And what would these residents in these high-rise apartments have in common with students? They're both transients.
That's the last thing you want if you want a stable community. If you put industry there, what are you doing? You're creating jobs and giving Southside people the opportunity to get out of low-income jobs in food service. And then maybe if they earn the higher wages, they could live in those apartments. So there's something really amiss here. So I hope you don't miss that.
Thank you, Mr. Antalix. Was there anyone else in the center who wants to make comment on anything voting on tonight? Turn to the right. That concludes public comment. Thank you. Moving on to old business. Any old business from members of council? So then move on to. Oh, sir, I apologize. Who wants to make comment?
Hi, everyone. My name is Alex Ceruzzi. I work for IQE 22 and a half years. And I just want to comment on the building itself. Unfortunately, the building is pretty dilapidated. It's not really fit for a semiconductor plant. It was kind of cobbled in five phases. And again, we're moving our facility from Bethlehem to North Carolina. We're also applying for the CHIP Act in North Carolina, so it can't happen here, unfortunately. Again, it's not a really fantastic building for a semiconductor company, unfortunately. But, you know, it really needs probably to come down because there's a lot of haz waste we have to get rid of. And it's going to take a lot of IQE's money to get that building in a position to even get knocked down. So that's kind of the situation that IQE has at this point in time. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Was there anyone else to the right who wanted to make comment before I again continue on? We have passed over old business already. Communications. Communication 6A.
May 18th, 2023, memorandum and proposed ordinance from Public Works Director Michael Alcall requested budget transfer of $200,000 in the 2023 capital budget for non-utilities. The adjustment is needed to reflect federal funds that are received in advance from the COVID-19 pandemic response grant. Funds will be used to repair the Saucon Park pavilions, retaining walls, and replace damaged playground equipment.
An ordinance 9D is on the agenda tonight for first reading. Communication 6B.
May 18, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Tiffany Wismer, PCED Business Manager, recommending an agreement with ScanTech Info Management Solutions at Willow Grove. Cost is $86,613 for two phases to be conducted in 2023, with the potential of a third phase costing $80,107 in 2024. Work to be performed is record scanning, indexing, and providing digital images and metadata for upload to the city's computer system. The estimated completion date is June 30th, 2024.
Resolution 10A is on the agenda. Communication 6C.
May 26, 2023 memorandum from Public Works Director Michael Alcall recommending an agreement with WSP of Bethlehem. Costs $36,522 to assist the city with the planning and implementation of the Climate Action Plan. Contracts will run through 2023. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10B is on the agenda. Communication 16.
May 31st, 2023 memorandum from Edward Bastola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, with an attached proposed ordinance. Memorandum requests adjustments totaling $2,020,000 within the sewer capital fund budget.
And ordinance 9E is on the agenda tonight for first reading. Communication 6E.
May 31st, 2023 memorandum from Edward Bastola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, with an attached proposed ordinance. Memorandum requests adjustments totaling $2,020,000 within the total sewer fund budget.
And ordinance 9F is on the agenda tonight for first reading. Communication 6F.
Memorandum dated May 31st, 2023 from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. Permittee is Arts Quest and the event is the 2023 Independence Day celebration. The agreement is from 12 noon to 11:30 p.m. on July 4th. The agreement covers First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First and Second Streets.
And Resolution 10C is on the agenda. Communication 6G.
May 31st, 2023 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. Permittee is Arts Quest and the event is the 2023 Sabor Latin Festival. The agreement is from 12 noon, June 23rd until 1 a.m. on June 24th and from 1 p.m. June 24th until 1 a.m. on June 25th. The agreement covers First Street from Founders Way to the Eastern Terminus.
Resolution 10D is on the agenda. Communication 6H.
A May 31st, 2023 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and associated use permit agreement. Permittee is Arts Quest and the event is the 2023 One Earth Reggae Fest. The agreement is from 10 a.m. on July 1st through 2 a.m. on July 2nd. The agreement covers First Street from Polk Street to the Eastern Terminus and Founders Way between First and Second Streets.
And Resolution 10E is on the agenda. Communication 6I.
May 31st, 2023 memorandum from City Solicitor John F. Spurk Jr. with an attached resolution and an associated use agreement. The permittee is the Rebellious Dreams Fund and the event is Rebel Fest. The agreement is from 7 a.m. until 11 p.m. on June 24th with a rain date period of 7 a.m. until 11 p.m. on July 15th. The agreement covers the Daniel E. Rice Memorial Plaza Field area.
And Resolution 10F is on the agenda. Communication 6J.
A June 1st, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Bastola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending an agreement with CMG of Easton Incorporated. Cost is $985,430, and the project consists of renovation to the existing laboratory, former process space, offices, and locker rooms at the wastewater treatment plant. Substantial completion is expected within 360 days for the notice to proceed, and final completion is expected within 420 days of the notice to proceed. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10G is on the agenda. Communication 6K.
A June 1st, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Bastola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending an agreement with Integrity Mechanical Incorporated of Plumsteadville. Cost is $399,420 for renovating all mechanical components associated with the HVAC at specified areas of the wastewater treatment plant. Substantial completion is expected within 360 days of the notice to proceed, and final completion is expected within 420 days of the notice to proceed. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10H is on the agenda. Communication 6L.
A June 1st, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Bastola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending an agreement with Integrity Mechanical Incorporated of Plumsteadville. Cost is $248,810 for renovating all plumbing components at specified areas of the wastewater treatment plant. Substantial completion is expected within 360 days of notice to proceed, and final completion is expected within 420 days of the notice to proceed. There are no renewals.
And Resolution 10I is on the agenda. Communication 6M.
The June 1st, 2023 memorandum with an attached resolution from Edward Bastola, Director of Water and Sewer Resources, recommending an agreement with FIS LLC of Walnut Court. Cost is $285,406. For renovating all electrical components at specified areas of the wastewater treatment plant. Substantial completion is expected within 360 days of notice to proceed, and final completion is expected within 420 days of the notice to proceed. There are no renewals.
Resolution 10J is on tonight's agenda. Moving on to reports, I have nothing to report this evening. Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I have one administrative order. I hereby reappoint Michael Colon, 1956 Ridgelawn Avenue, Bethlehem, PA 18018, to the Bethlehem Human Relations Commission. This appointment is effective through March 2026.
The administrative Administrative order from Michael Cologne to the Bethlehem Human Relations Commission. Resolution is to confirm is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leung.
I don't know how I feel about my address being read depending on how I vote tonight with some of the things on the agenda. Yeah, I will just say thank you for the reappointment. My time volunteering for the HRC predates the time that I've served on City Council. And I'll just put a plug out there for the HRC. We've had some recent turnover, so if there's anyone interested in volunteering, please feel free to reach out to council. You just have to be a resident of the City of Bethlehem or own a business in the City of Bethlehem. Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leung?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Abstain, passes 6-0 with one abstention.
Thank you, President Cologne. Several reports here. First of all, I know we had President Helbley here, as well as some members of his administration. Lehigh had held their Southside sale on Saturday, which once again was wildly successful. Ms. Collins and I were there early in the morning, moving around pillows and such. But it was wonderful to see so many members of the community out there from Lehigh, as well as just the South Bethlehem community. And it's, once again, I think it's bigger and bigger every year, and I say that as a positive. But it takes a lot of efforts, and I just want to thank everybody involved for that process. I know Ms. McCool had left, but I wanted to comment as well on her moment of silence for D-Day. Since our last meeting, we had multiple Memorial Day events, and one of the things that came up at those events is about how the City of Bethlehem is one that takes those events and days and ceremonies seriously in a way that we remember. We had one right outside here. We had one, obviously, in the Memorial Cemetery and over at Arts Quest as well. And I just want to thank, I know many members of council were there as well. Some good news is we have our pools opening this weekend. On Friday, Memorial Pool is opening for pass holders only from 3 to 7. But the rest of our pools, except for Stark, is opening on Saturday. Stark is finishing up those improvements that council had approved a couple of months ago. That is exciting news that we are fully staffed for all of our pools. If you read the articles in the paper, a lot of surrounding municipalities are having problems with their pools, can't open their pools, they're wondering what to do, and that's not a problem we had. And remember, last year was the first year that we were able to open all of our pools, and it took a lot of work from our recreation department and our public works department to both get them ready and recruit. We went out to Freedom and Liberty swim teams and so on and so forth, so I'm here to tell you that once again those pools are going to be open, which is a great thing for every neighborhood that we have. On Friday, Chief Cotton and I will be going to graduation as well for our six new police officers who will be starting on Monday then. I know we've been following that process as well, which is an exciting thing. So Chief Cotton and I will be there on Friday. Ms. Santoro ran our Sister City event last week over at the Hispanic Center on 4th Street, and we're making a lot of exciting progress there. We've taken some feedback, and we're going to move into the next step there as far as meeting with our advisory council and hopefully coming up with starting those conversations sometime this summer about that next sister city that we're going to have. And then just a couple of comments here that I wanted to make relating to housing, and also just one of the things that's also happened the past couple of weeks was I've had the opportunity to attend multiple events, our Pride flag raising outside, Pride on the Greenway. I went to an event last week at Freedom that honored students that had over 200 hours of community service. And one of the topics that came up over and over again was how welcome people feel in the City of Bethlehem and how they feel supported in the City of Bethlehem no matter how long they have been here. And when I was out there at Liberty Freedom, I saw students who were probably fourth generation Liberty Freedom graduates, and I saw students that got here 3 years ago. And I think that as we have important conversations about the future of what our city looks like, is that we are very careful about our language, including what words we refer to people and whether or not they decide to have children or not, because that's not the type of city that we live in. And every single one of us had somebody, our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, move here from somewhere else. And Bethlehem was open at that time for opportunity, and we remain open. And I think all of us could tell a story that my parents were born in New Jersey, and my dad went to Lehigh, my mom went to Cedar Crest, and they got married, and they rented an apartment, and then they moved, and they left Bethlehem for a while, and they went back to New Jersey, and then they came back here years later.
And the idea that somehow they would not have felt welcome, or because they only lived here for a couple of years, is not unique to us, but it is a story that everybody else in this room could probably tell as well. So we should and will always be welcoming to other people within our city. Now, as that relates to housing, we obviously have talked a lot about housing in the last 17 months since we were sworn in. In the past year, we have been taking on our affordable housing strategy study, which, as Mr. Robertson, we have done a lot of that. We've put together a huge task force. We've had multiple public meetings. And within the next month or two, we will be ready to release that as far as what those strategies are. We allocated $5 million of our American Rescue Funds in this year's budget that remain unspent, with the idea that we want to make sure we spend those dollars wisely. And what this affordable strategies study is going to do is help to have us understand where the best places are for us to put our time and our resources in the city of Bethlehem to do what we can. At the same point, it is a larger conversation. It's a conversation I've been having with Mayor Turk and Mayor Panto about how we can move the needle on housing affordability within the Lehigh Valley. There is a lot of work to be done. It is the number one issue that we are facing in both the private and the public sector. But I will say that it is very important, and it's something we are committed to, and I know the people in City Council are committed to it as well, is Bethlehem is not closed. We do not welcome a certain amount of people here and then wait for the rest of us to have children to just keep it going. That's not how America works, and that's not how Bethlehem works. We are always welcoming new people here. That is all of our stories, that's the American story, and we are going to continue to do that. So we are going to have very legitimate conversations about zoning and housing and affordability and who we are and what we're going to be and how the identity of America and our city is changing. But as a city, we are going to continue to be the type of place that when we go out and talk to 16 or 17-year-olds or 30-year-olds or 70-year-olds or 80-year-olds, that they're going to say that Bethlehem is the place that's always been something that reflected that very American idea that there is a place for you. That is the job we have. That is what we look for in this work. That's why we are here. And that's the one thing that I think everybody in City Council administration agrees on. That's the identity of our city. That the doors are never closed, and we are always going to support people for the way they want to be. Thank you, President Colon.
Thank you, Mayor Reynolds. Moving on to our Community Development Committee meeting report, Dr. Van Wert.
The Community Development Committee met on Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023 at 5:30 p.m. in Town Hall. The committee discussed the zoning map amendment for the rezoning of 119 Technology Drive from IR Industrial Redevelopment to CB Central Business District. The committee voted to recommend placement of the ordinance on the June 6, 2023 council meeting agenda for first reading, which is tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. For Public Safety Committee, Ms. Leon.
The Public Safety Committee met on Tuesday, June 6, 2023 in Town Hall. The committee received information from the Police Department on participation in the Human Trafficking Task Force, including the Memorandum of Understanding Resolution. The committee voted 2-1 to send to full council at a date to be determined. The committee also received information on the CAT Yield to Pedestrian Initiative.
Thank you, Ms. Leon. We don't have any ordinances for final passage tonight, so moving on to new ordinances, I'll ask the clerk to read Bill 21-2023.
Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending and restating Article 1703 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, entitled Requirements and Qualifications to Obtain Licensing to Perform Electrical Work Within the City of Bethlehem. Bill 21-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion on the ordinance?
I have one quick question.
I'll start with Ms. Quaytek.
Mr. Simonson here.
Hi, thank you. It was a very quick question. This looks like it's mostly just updating and tightening these ordinances to align with...
a lot of language cleanup.
Right, cleaning up language and things like that. In this particular one with electrical work, there was a mention of a 5-year escrow period where that you could hold your license in escrow for 5 years, and that seemed like a long time just in terms of, kind of put your license on hold and come back and get it if you weren't working.
Well, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not working. It's just that they're not using their master electrical license in that manner. They may go work for another company. They may be leaving the state for a reason to go work or whatever. So 5 years is kind of industry standard as far as an escrow account goes.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Mr. Simonson, do you mind just stating your position for those who aren't familiar with who you are?
Sorry, I'm Chief Code Official for the Code Enforcement in the Housing Office.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Simonson.
Yes.
I have a few questions
sure.
about this. And maybe I'm reading it wrong. So on page 6, I'm just wondering, it looks like the way I read it that we're getting rid of the CEU credits, the continuing ed credits.
Correct.
Is there something that's going to be in that in their place?
No, there's not going to be anything in its place. So what currently what the how the ordinance has changed is we went to a national standard for the testing. Previously, the ordinance had read that it was done by Bethlehem Electrical Board. They created the test, and we no longer do that. But the continuing education, we have a reciprocating agreement with Allentown and with the City of Reading as well, and they don't require the continuing education credits. So it's becoming difficult for some of the contractors in the other municipalities to cross work in multiple municipalities because we had different standards than the other two cities. So removing the continuing education wasn't to harm anyone in any way. It was just to bring us more in line with the communities that we share reciprocity with.
I understand. I guess my concern with the changing codes and the changing in electrical work and plumbing is it safe to not have continuing ed requirements?
Well, just as anything, we're out there continually inspecting. So the work is being done properly. Work that's done by master electricians and performed under permits is inspected by the city or a third-party agency and sometimes. So the work is being done properly. As far as any work that's done improperly or without a permit, I can't speak for that. So.
Okay. All right, thanks. And I had another question on page 8. And again, I know we definitely want to have master electricians and those that are licensed, but does this mean that it will preclude any kind of individuals that are working as apprenticeship under a master electrician or maybe students that are in co-op, for example, maybe for the Voltec? Like I'm thinking the Voltec does a house that they build every year, and if that house happened to be in the city, would that preclude them from working on that house?
No, it doesn't preclude you from working. It's just the permit holder. So who actually fills out the applications and signs and holds the insurance for the project is where the license comes in.
Okay.
Who works under the master electrician, this ordinance has no effect on that.
Okay. And then can you just speak to, now it says here that the electrician examining board as well as the plumbing examining board of the city will be abolished. Will there be another governing board, or is it going to be that someone is going to make sure that they're abiding by the state or national standards? Like how are we going to have oversight?
So that will come directly through my office at this point now because it's a national standard test with pass or fail. So it's the same standardized test that the inspectors take in order to inspect this work. So, and it's also viewed by the Pennsylvania Uniform Construction Code as a standard and also Pennsylvania Labor and Industry as the industry standard. So those tests would be administered by a third party agency. They're done either manually, like at a testing center, or they're done virtually online. They would then bring the passing score into the city of Bethlehem with proper identification, with proper insurance and stuff, then we could review that, and then we should issue them the license if it's appropriate.
Okay, and then if there were any concerns or issues, they would go to, I guess, an appeal board, or there would be
Bethlehem has, I don't want to say a full-time appeals board, but we have a governing appeals board that meets anywhere between 5 to 6 times per year, and we discuss matters, whether they be someone appealing a decision made by one of the inspectors, or appealing or asking for a different interpretation of one of the codes. So we meet on a regular basis and we discuss these matters, and any person who feels aggrieved by a decision that I make regarding a licensing issue, they would have that a chance to go to that Code Board of Appeals to state their case.
Okay, thanks. And my final question, again, and maybe I read it incorrectly, but is it the same for the electrician and the plumber that it states that it has to be a master electrician can pull a permit, but is that the same language for the plumber then?
Yeah, they almost mirror each other with the exception of the continuing education credits.
So the uniform.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Any other questions or comments from members of council? Thank you, Mr. Thomas. I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Yes. Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Francis Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leong?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. We'll read Bill 22-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending and restating Article 17-05 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, titled Requirements and Qualifications to Obtain Licensing to Perform Plumbing Work Within the City of Bethlehem. Bill 22-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leong.
Any discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leong?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Bill 23-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending Article 1731 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, titled Inspections. Bill 23-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leong.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Crimson Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leong?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Clerk will read Bill 24-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending 2023 capital budget for non-utilities. Bill 24-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leong.
Discussion? Squeak.
Thank you. Mr. Alcala, if you wanted to share what the specifics are, the work that's going to be done at Saucon Park, I think the folks in the room might be interested in hearing about it.
As many are aware, the flooding that occurred there damaged the sections of the retaining wall on the creek. Also the two pavilions, which have tables in close proximity to each other, and have the flooring of those pavilions is fine screening. All that got washed out significantly. There's also some walking path leading to it from the pavilions that were uprooted. So the work is to restore the walls, stabilize the creek bank and behind the bank with some riprap, remove the damaged pavilion floor. We're contemplating whether we'll replace in kind, or in order to preclude this from happening again, to pour a concrete floor, since it's undercover anyway, it's impervious already, it's not worth adding any impervious area to the park by doing that. And there's also some plate equipment that's aged and was further damaged that's going to be replaced.
Oh great, the plate equipment, awesome. Thank you very much.
And then I had a quick question, whether Mr. Alcala and Mr. Evans, for the $200,000, can you just speak to where this money is coming from?
State grant.
And is there any city match on this grant?
No. DCNR. Yes, DCNR.
Understood. Thank you, Mr. Evans. Any other discussion from members of council? Ms. Leo?
I just wanted to thank Mr. Evans and Mr. Alcala for the conversations that you had with some of us regarding all the work that's being done at Saucon and how it came to be in the state that it's in, so that we could better help our community understand that it is a park that is open for them to be able to use, and we appreciate all the work you're doing.
Any other discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leong?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Read Bill 25-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the 2023 capital budget for sewer utilities. Bill 25-2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leong.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leong?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. And please read Bill 26-2023.
An ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Counties of Lehigh and Northampton, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, amending the sewer fund budget for 2023. Bill 26, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. Roll call roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne.
Aye. Passes 7-0. And last of the new ordinances, please read Bill 19, 2023.
An ordinance amending Part 13 of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, as amended, known as the Zoning Ordinance of the City of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, by amending the city's zoning map. Bill 19, 2023 is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion.
I always go first, but
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
So this is the rezoning of Technology Drive, correct? Well, first of all, I think I want to clarify, because there's been a lot of discussion at previous meetings, and I just want to clarify that I am truly not averse to renting or to rentals. I certainly see the need for renting properties, and I've been a renter for many years of my life. However, as a counselor, I have realized and I continue to stress the vital importance of balance in life. And in my job as a city council member, I try to promote balance for the city. My concern is the lack of balance that we have in housing options. Over the past 5 to 6 years, approximately 85% of development in this city has been in rental apartments. I ask, is this really a balance? My point and my concern is that the primary option we're giving our community members is apartment rentals and not owner-occupied options. And my constituents are telling me fiercely that they do not want this. They don't want a city of primarily rental apartments. They want a balance. Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies found that the median network of U.S. renters was just 2.5% of the median network of homeowners. Last year, as higher interest rates slowed some home sales and caused prices to plateau and even soften in some overheated cities, the asking price of the median U.S. rental reached $2,000 a month, a record high. Inflated rent prices lined the pockets of landlords while preventing renters from saving for a down payment and ever getting off the treadmill. And again, I will state this is from Harvard's Joint Center for Housing Studies. What percentage of housing in the South Side is now owner-occupied versus rentals? I would presume that majority are rentals. How many newer pending developments on the South Side have been apartments? I'm going to estimate that there's been at least 6 to 7, with many pending. And how many are not affordable to the average Bethlehem resident whose average medium salary is approximately $54,000? Rezoning is a major issue, not to be taken lightly, and I can certainly see both sides of this issue. While I certainly support an inclusive Bethlehem, and I welcome all to this city, as I welcome all of my students that are immigrants and refugees in my school, I also have to state that we have a concern and a problem here when we have many residents who are saying to me that they need to leave the city because they cannot afford to live here, or we have many families who are doubled and tripled because their children and grandchildren cannot afford to live on their own. It all goes back to balance for me. Do we rezone an entire parcel for rental apartments that the average resident of this city cannot likely afford? Or do we promote a balance by maintaining the current zoning to promote the development of high-tech jobs in a specially designed building that was built with taxpayer funds with the purpose of promoting high-tech careers in Bethlehem? In the name of balance, and based on all the input that I've gotten from my constituents, I'll be voting no in the rezoning this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Ramsey Smith. Any other comments from members of council?
This is about 119.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Okay.
Dr. Enix?
We need to look more than 2 years down the line. When it comes to jobs and work, we need to think 10 years down the line, and we need to think globally. We have all the assets and resources to be designated as a technology hub. We have the colleges, universities, and technical schools and community colleges to develop our workforce, our businesses, our business communities, and our geographic proximity to major metropolitan areas is spectacular. We can drive to more, most of the eastern seaboard, and our workforce will not all need to be college degreed. Dr. King would say that all work has dignity and importance. All work. We can make history again like we did with steel. This particular address has significant life science and technological possibilities still left in its light. I went to the site, and instead of seeing obsolete, I saw possibilities still left in its light. There is no doubt that we have a housing need. The answer is not, however, to build more housing on every single plot of land that we have. We need more greenways. Let us, as one of our residents stated, think critically. Are we really solving the problem, or are we displacing the next generation of locals? Can we still, as they say, I say that we can still, as they say, have our cake and eat it too. Put the beautiful Emory further down the line to help make our waterfront more beautiful. Locals are struggling to make rent. Saving to make a down payment is difficult unless a relative passes away and leaves a substantial sum of money. Again, are we really solving the problem, or are we displacing the next generations of locals? Put the Emory further down the waterfront and build condos so that the next generation can get a foothold into home ownership.
Thank you, Dr. Enix. Any other comments from members of council?
I had some questions. Is it okay time to ask questions?
Ms. Kwiatek.
So I wanted to ask the administration to respond to some characterizations during public comment from Mr. Fenstermacher that implied that you were fully behind this zoning map change, and I wanted to give you an opportunity to either agree with what he said or perhaps explain a little further.
Sure. So the plan, as it went before the Planning Commission, which is the plan that's in front of you, at that time we drafted a letter to the Planning Commission. It's part of the packet. It's probably part of the packet that you have in front of you. You know, we have said, and we continue to believe, that housing is extremely important for the city of Bethlehem. I would say that I strongly disagree with the sentiment that adding supply in housing, even if it is rental housing, is not helpful to the overall housing situation. But we also know that there's a variety of information that's in front of you, and you know, that has come out since we had the plan before the Planning Commission. So. You know, I think that's all things that council will take into consideration.
So, can I ask you if your opinion has changed? Has this the administration's opinion changed with the information that has sort of come to light since then, the conversations that have been had and information that we've learned?
I would say that this is a situation where we have. And I would disagree with the idea that adding housing supply is not a good thing as far as driving down rents are concerned. This is a situation, as we've gone on, the number one thing to us is that we want to see the property get reused. We don't want to see it sit there vacant. Obviously, as this situation has gone on, there's been a lot of conversation that council is considering as far as whether or not they think that's the best way.
If it was up to us, as I've said from the beginning, that this is not something that we own, so we don't necessarily have that opportunity to take a look at what of all of the different options are and so on and so forth. But the applicant came forward with the zoning change. I would say that Ms. Heller's comments, which were the comments in planning as far as where they would necessarily think, would this be a use for housing or not? But at the end of the day, that does come down to whether or not City Council wants to balance out whatever could be there versus the idea for the housing supply conversation as well. But I would say that there is whatever council decides or whatever the owners of the property decide to do, that we would look to see every opportunity to see that property reused before anything else goes forward. But you know, at the end of the day, we are consistent with the idea that we want to see more housing supply. But the first thing that probably should happen there is we should see what we can do to reutilize that. I think that there's been a lot of information about people that are interested in that throughout the Lehigh Valley. But that is ultimately the conversation about whether or not that's a risk worth taking as far as City Council is concerned.
Thank you. And then Mr. Ceruzzi,
yes.
Is that your name? Can you please return to the microphone? Hi. So you said you work for IQE. Could you tell us what your title is?
General Manager. I've been working for IQE for 22 and a half years.
And so are you a spokesperson for the company? Do you speak on behalf of the company?
Yes.
Okay. So you are empowered to be here tonight to speak
yes.
on behalf of the company.
Yes, I am.
Okay. You know, when you said, well, we're going to get the CHIPS thing down in North Carolina, so too bad, or sorry, I think was what you said. What were you implying? Do you know for sure that you'll be getting the CHIPS funding down there?
No. So the facility, all the equipment, some people are being transferred over to North Carolina because our facility is not, you really can't make a profit there. It's not a good semiconductor facility. So the thing is being moved to a larger facility in North Carolina, and they're applying for the CHIP Act there, IQE.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know if they're going to get it, but they're applying for it there. So that's what I meant to say.
Okay.
That make myself clear.
And so what are your duties as a general manager?
I run the facility.
You run the facility.
Responsible for profit, loss, facilities, operations, engineering.
Okay. And so would you, I mean, you know, we've been told by other people that it could be reused with the small clean rooms and that there are companies that could potentially, you know, come in and, you know, with obviously some, you know, upgrades and things like that, but who are looking for small clean rooms. And, you know, I think we've heard a lot that it's not appropriate for reuse because companies are looking for big clean rooms and things like that, but for the kind of work that was being done there, there was the need for the small clean rooms, right? And so I'm just trying to get a sense of why, if you are, like, up until, whatever, 2 weeks ago, able to use it to do things, why another company wouldn't be able to use it if they were doing the like type of manufacturing.
Well, they can. We had a lot of people come through, and a lot of semiconductor companies, and they didn't bite on the facility. We had several gas companies, semiconductor companies come through, and just recently a couple of pretty large companies came through and they weren't interested in the building. You've got to do a lot to it. Okay, we have our facility is designed for, it's called molecular beam epitaxy. The technology right now is MOCVD, which is metal organic chemical vapor deposition. We have that in almost all the IQE facilities. So this one is just not a good facility for it. So.
But it's a good facility for epitaxy.
Not really. The clean rooms are maybe class 10,000. You really need maybe class 1,000 and you could probably get away with class 5,000. But we have a couple of clean rooms that are about class 5,000, but they're very small. It's only one actually. And the rest, you know, everything's old in the building as well. You know, we have a lot of, it's the building. In 1999, IQE merged with QED, and actually Ben Franklin was the QED sponsor there, and that facility was really built for incubation,
and we kind of expanded out the five phases. And again, you know, things are hooked up all over the place. It's not constructed for a really high, you know, high power semiconductor plant. So it's got a lot of, you know, idiosyncrasies to the plant. So somebody coming in has got to spend a lot of money on that plant, okay, to really fix it up and make it a valuable plant for them.
Okay, thank you for your opinion. I appreciate that. That's all I have right now.
Thank you, Ms. Kwiatek. Any comments from other members of council? Dr. Network?
I will. So in the enormous amount of thinking we've been doing about this, I think it's important to note that we have two really good options for use of this site in front of us. This is a good thing for the city to have these two competing interests for this site. This is a great place to have housing, and I agree with Ms. Collins. I do think that any housing is going to help drive down prices, whether it's rental, condo, single-family homes, is all going to help drive down prices. This is also a really good place to have housing because it does pull, as you said, it does pull a lot of that pressure away from the historic core, and it has a low-impact way to affect the neighborhood. However, my thinking has changed a bit, and I think it's really through understanding the potential for Bethlehem to become a stronger tech hub, to become an innovation hub, with better understanding of the CHIPS Act and how that can not necessarily influence this building, but how this could influence this city and this state and this country. And I think there is a lot that we are being asked to balance tonight. We're being asked to determine what is the best use of this land and also understand what is feasible here, but how can we really understand what is feasible when there's a whole lot of private business dealings that we don't know about, that we don't necessarily want to know about. So we're just being asked to say what is the best use of this land and what you think may be feasible here. So when I'm asked to look at the use of this very property, well, I do see housing as a wonderful thing to happen here and a really great place to happen to it, happen right there. I also think that giving a tech hub, because of the CHIPS Act, a chance to grow, a signal to the tech community that we're open for business, I think it deserves that chance because that can have a profound and long-lasting impact on this community, on our state, and on our country. I do hope that, though, this is seen as a temporary hope, and if that doesn't come to fruition within the next year or whatever seems to be a reasonable time frame, and this property lies fallow, I hope that the developer, whoever has an option to buy it, would come back to council and again put your plans out there and see if maybe things have changed. But for right now, I think because of my understanding of what the CHIPS Act could mean for our town, I will not be supporting the zoning change tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Van Wert. Any other comments from council? Ms. Wilhelm?
I will state once again that I am a renter and that I also believe that all housing drives down prices and can have a positive impact on affordable housing. And when we first started discussing this project, it appeared on our agenda several weeks ago. The decision was looking at what I felt and feel is a favorable project, a residential development in this location, all of the positive feelings that I had about that project then, I have now. The decision at that time, however, was deciding between that project and something we hoped might happen. And under those conditions, I definitely was leaning toward the residential development. And furthermore, with a developer who evidenced that they were interested in positive partnerships with the city of Bethlehem, which we all value very highly. There have been references this evening to the many conversations that each of us have had in the weeks that have transpired and the research that we've done in the meantime. And to my mind, the decision has changed significantly. I'm not deciding between those two same things. That now, we understand that there is interest in the space, that it is more ready for that interest than we thought, that there is interest from an industry doing important work in semiconductor technology that, again, is not something we just hope will happen down the road, but the interest is here. And that changes things a bit. As Dr. Van Wert said, I feel that by rezoning now, we negate the possibility for this to happen. This is our opportunity to give that opportunity a chance. I think it was sort of being referred to as a sort of a unicorn project that wouldn't happen. And I think we're looking at the possibility of something extremely valuable happening in that space. I do feel it is my responsibility to give that that opportunity a chance. And again, as Dr. Van Wert said, that if in fact it doesn't work out, Mayor Reynolds indicated, we do not have an interest in seeing that space sit fallow. I was excited by the ways in which residential development could energize that space, and I continue to feel that way. But again, in this moment, I feel that it is our responsibility to give the semiconductor tenant an opportunity to succeed in this space. And I hope that this is the start of a greater conversation about activating our riverfront and about continuing good development partnerships with the city and setting a good example in that regard. But this evening, I will also not be supporting the rezoning.
Thank you, Ms. Wilhelm. Any other comments from members of council? Ms. Leonis, your hand up.
We'll take a crack at this tonight. I wanted to first thank IQE for walking us through the space and everybody else within the administration and the developers that were so willing to answer questions that we had. I'm a Southside resident, I'm a Southside homeowner, like the very few of us that are left. And so when I was thinking about this, I was just so very Southside specific with it because that's going to be the community that's most affected. And when I think about how more housing units stabilize the market, that's what I thought of. It's one thing if you were like the first development that was going to drag the prices all the way up to $2,200 a month, but you're not. You're like the 10th. So that's how it stabilizes the market. If you were the first, it would drive it up, but you're not. So that's just one component of this. That's how more units stabilize the market. Even so, on the south side, we have tons of single family homes, we have row homes, we have condominiums. They're all rentals. So even if you did build a ton of condominiums, like Riverport's condominiums, 50% of those are rentals. So like, I don't know the answer to like, how do we solve the housing crisis? And like, I think we're all working so hard to kind of figure that out. But if we look at the South Side in a nutshell, just by itself, the South Side is really at like a crucial point. It's way more rental than it is homeowner occupied. And like, there's this amazing book, if you love affordable housing, you know, I'll give it to you after if you want to read it. I know you spoke about it earlier, man, but one of the things that they say is prioritizing stability over wealth creation. And like, more apartments will help stabilize, so then we can address whether or not, or how we can incentivize home ownership. So many of these programs that we have, like the first time home buyers, people can't even utilize them because the housing on the south side is getting bought up by like cash only bids. I never thought I'd like an apartment complex on the south side. This is a good one. It just is. I was really impressed by the desire to contribute to affordable housing when you weren't mandated to. There's nothing that's requiring you to. That would allow us to do innovative things like purchase land to do our own. But at the end of the day, I represent the people at Bethlehem and Southside. Residents have spoken. So there's that.
Thank you, Ms. Leon. I'll give a couple of my comments. As I had stated a couple weeks ago when this first came up on the council agenda, I was not in favor of the rezoning. And my position has not changed. It has less to do with what's being proposed there in terms of the apartments. And I won't get into the merits of apartments or the pros and cons of this project, because in my opinion, that's a little bit
unfair to a degree to the applicant. What it comes down to is what the zoning allows you to do. Right now it's zoned IR. When you look at that neighborhood, you don't look too far. Victory Firehouse, a celebrated building of the last number of years, recently was on the market, and that sold so that another local business could expand in Victory Firehouse in the IR zone. You also have the factory, which many of us have been through over the years. That's also zoned IR. We talk about condition of this current building. One of my buddies was part of the crew that cleaned up the building that's now factory. And the next time you're in there, they have photos where they can show you that that was not something that investment was turnkey ready when they bought that building. That took a lot of time. That took a lot of effort, innovation, investment, patience, you know, the gamut, to see that come to fruition to what it is today. So these are projects that have come online in the IR zone, which is what 119 currently is zoned for. So whether that's going to be chip manufacturing, whether that's going to be any of the other permitted uses, from my perspective, there just hasn't met the threshold to change the IR uses to the CB uses. And I understand that we are in a housing deficit, apartment deficit. We've spoken about it time and time again here in council halls, in town hall, and community meetings. But again, I remind everyone, as I've mentioned at the last meeting, that we have, council's been involved to a degree with some of the certificates of appropriateness for some of those buildings that are currently in development. Some didn't come before council, but they're in the works. Bethlehem has not been uninviting to apartments. I would say I have not been uninviting, nor do I intend to be moving forward as it relates to some of these. This council actually passed the second LIRTA district on the south side last year at some time with the intent, with working with the administration, and then we passed it to bring some of these more challenged parcels scattered around South Bethlehem online and see them offer some kind of housing opportunity. So those things being said, I remain opposed to the rezoning for those stated reasons. I also want to see the building be reused. If that happens, I'm not going to assign a timeline to it, but I will be interested with some of the other points that people have already brought up about what initiatives are out there, whether previously with the Keystone Innovation Zone or moving forward with other state and federal programs coming down the pipeline, to see what it is. And again, I just don't think that where we are with things, that I'm to the point where I would support switching the current zoning when we've seen other adjacent properties in the neighborhood be good projects to CB, and that's where I'm at with that. Any other questions or comments from members of council before we call the roll? Ms. Kwiatek.
Thank you. I used my time earlier to ask questions, so I did also want to go on the record. And like everyone, this has been a difficult decision, and as Dr. Van Wert so eloquently said, it was because we had two really, you know, potentially great options, which we usually don't. So that I wanted to state. I will be voting no on the rezoning tonight, on the zoning map change, and I also want to state for the record that I am not opposed to apartments, that I welcome renters and new people to our city, that I reject the use of disparaging terms for people who happen to live here for shorter periods of time. I often think about the fact that Lehigh students are here for 4 years, and that's actually a very long time, especially when you think that they get here when they're 18. So it's literally, what, 25% of their lives that they're spending in Bethlehem. They are our neighbors. And the same goes for people who just moved here yesterday or 23 years ago, who are still considered newcomers sometimes. I happen to own my house, but I've been a renter. It's the only house it's the first house, I should say, the only, my primary residence was the first house I bought, and I was in my 30s, and I had been a renter before then. So it's disappointing to hear folks not have a welcoming spirit towards new people in our city. New people bring vitality, they bring new energy. Yes, sometimes we come from big cities. I came from Washington, D.C., so I hope I didn't bring anything too bad with me. But I just want to make sure that I'm clearly on the record as saying that this decision was very difficult. As you know, the last time we were here in full council, I indicated I might vote the other way. I appreciate the amount of time that everybody's given to this decision and the thought that's gone into it, and I agree with my fellow council people about the fact that it's really about giving this a chance and what it could mean to our city and our region. So, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Kwiatek. Any other questions or comments from members of council? I'll ask the clerk to call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Nay.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Nay.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Nay.
Dr. Enix?
No.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Nay.
Ms. Leone?
Nay.
And Mr. Cologne?
Nay. The bill fails. 7 opposed, 0-4. Moving on to resolutions, I'll ask the clerk to read Resolution 10A.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with ScanTech Info Management Solutions for record scanning, indexing, and providing digital images and metadata for upload on the City's computer system. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Gramsci Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Cologne?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Please read Resolution 10B.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with WSP to assist the City with the planning and implementation of the Climate Action Plan during 2023. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion?
Just quickly.
Dr. Van Wert.
Yeah. I'm not sure who I would ask. I just wondered if you could just drill down a little bit on what exactly the support it would look like.
The contract as it was the past year is for consultant service on as-needed basis. We have various committees, we have various technologies that we evaluate, develop various plans that all are to meet the objectives and the plans that were laid out in the Climate Action Plan, and we utilize the consultant on as-needed basis depending on the expertise required to augment our committee efforts as well as the city staff.
Okay, thank you. I guess I was looking to see, like, maybe any specific targets that you have, like conversion of the city fleet to electric or something along those lines.
That's all part of the planning and the goals that are set out in various areas, like electrification of the fleet and improving efficiencies of our buildings, etc.
And just to add to that, is we have those 9 implementation groups, and one of the things WSP is helping us to understand what grants are out there, how to necessarily implement these things, where to set up those partnerships. And I think the next question for the administration and the city and the community going forward at the end of the year, going into next year, is whether or not we continue that contract or whether or not we look to mobilize that idea of a sustainability director with those same dollars. We felt very strongly that in year 1 and year 2, that the best work for us to be done was more of that structural. How do we set it up? How do we set up those implementation groups? We didn't spend all of the money last year. We only spent some of it. So I think that that's one of the things that we are talking about internally with the Climate Action Group, about what 2024 is going to look like. But these dollars are going to help us get to the end of the year. One of the things that they've been working on recently is helping us to work with the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, who applied for that $1 million in like Lehigh Valley Climate Action Planning grant dollars. That's going to allow us to put together the Lehigh Valley Green Ribbon Commission, which was one of the things that had come up in our Climate Action Plan. And WSP has been looking at other models throughout the city to work with us and work with the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission and the counties or whomever else to try to put that together.
So they're kind of on call for you. When you identify a grant, they're kind of on call to go get it.
We didn't want to hire someone to just go around and ask Mike or ask Darlene for information. So what they are able to do is provide a strategic help. To let us know what other cities are doing, what are the best steps for us to take, and also what are the grants that are worth our time and they've been working with Mason Allen, they've been working with Angie, as far as what the ones are that we can seek. But they're providing that strategic guidance, but only on an as-needed basis. I think last year we had $60,000 in the budget, correct, and I think we used about $40,000. Is that what the number was? So we basically just call them when we think this is a good project for them to help us with.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all.
Any other discussion from members of council? Ms. Cranston?
So I had a question. So the amount is $36,000. That's the most that we would use throughout the year, and it's possible that we would use less or much less?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it's as needed, depending on the activities that are going on, depending on the need.
Okay.
Right now, we think that's going to be adequate for anticipate utilizing them for.
Okay. And I'm definitely all for the climate action plan, but I know we already have given this consultant firm significant amount of money to help us with the plan, and now we're in implementation. And I'm wondering, since we do have a grant writer, can we look at, in the future, for next year, maybe look at grants that we can use to, or if we're talking about hiring a sustainability officer, using it for grants rather than using it.
We are exploring that, yes.
Yeah, and one of the things that Mason is trying, and WSP has been great with this, in that they're like, we don't, like when it gets to the point when they're no longer helpful, they're like, if that was last year, and they said to us, they said, if you want to go to a sustainability officer and hire somebody, by all means, go do it. That was an internal conversation. But one of the things that they have done is basically trying to create the situation where it's going to be part of Mason's job. I mean, obviously, Mason right now is doing a lot with the Community Recovery Fund and those grants. But this is one of the areas where the long-term idea for that position is going to be focused on this area. But we would have the sustainability coordinator replace these dollars in the future. It's just a matter of when does that make strategic sense. Is it next year, the year after? And that's a conversation we're going to have with implementation groups, and that will make a decision about the budget for next year and have that as a public conversation at the time.
And I would say I'd like to even see that we could get maybe a grant to pay for the sustainability officer rather than continuing to have to put money out here for a consultant or another position. Let's put it that way. So that's why if we have a grant writer, I'd really appreciate us looking into that. Grants for the position.
Yeah, we absolutely can do that. I think one of the limitations, though, when we look at grants throughout the city, is being able to create a position that is a position that's able to have all of the benefits of the stability of work, to be able to have someone in there that's not. We've seen that with other grant-funded positions, that people often don't stay in them very long. So we will absolutely try to make sure that we can see what grants are out there. But the sustainability officer is going to be a full-time position going forward, because that's the way we're going to create the continuity like we have with professionals now. But we absolutely will try to find all of our different funding sources to be able to make that happen.
Thank you.
Any other discussion?
I guess I just wanted to quickly commend WSP. My experience with them on any internal working group that I've been a part of has been extremely positive. They have informed every meeting and been able to provide information and expertise that would have taken a bit more time to pursue if they hadn't been there. So I just wanted to be sure to commend that. They're not just writing grants. They are present. They are active. They are deeply involved in providing a great resource to the climate action plan moving forward.
Any other discussion?
I would just agree with Councilwoman Wilhelm. I'm on the local food and waste and another committee, and on both of them, their expertise has been very, very valuable.
Thank you. Seeing no other comments, we'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10C.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the 2023 Independence Day celebration. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey-Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leone?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10D.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with Arts Quest for the 2023 Sabor Latin Festival. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leone.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
And Mr. Blum.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10E.
Be resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and the Controller and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with ArtsQuest for the 2023 One Earth Reggae Fest. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
And Mr. Blum.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Please read Resolution 10F.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and the Controller, and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute a use permit agreement with the Rebellious Dreams Fund for the Rebel Fest. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion. We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
And Mr. Colum.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10G.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with CMG of Easton Incorporated to perform general construction work for renovations at the wastewater treatment plant. Resolution sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Dr. Van Wert.
Mr. Boskal, I was wondering if you could just talk to us a minute about this. It's just a lot of money. It's like $2 million. And we're used to spending a lot of money on the water treatment plant, but it's usually in very complicated engineering things that I just don't understand at all. But this seems to be a little bit more about your main treatment tower and kind of like where the people are. I just wonder if you could just give us a brief overview of it.
It's correct. It's at the wastewater treatment plant. These four contracts to 10G, H, I, and J are all related to the same project. This has been a long-standing goal to renovate the spaces down there for the operators and the maintenance workers. This is for their offices, their locker rooms, the lab needs major upgrade. All of these spaces are, quite honestly, in the same condition they've been in for decades, and they really deserve to have much better working conditions. And I know it's a lot of money, but it's gonna provide all new furniture, lab equipment, HVAC, you know, heating and cooling, electrical, lighting, the whole gamut. New locker facilities, new toilet rooms. The toilet rooms are pretty bad. I'll just leave it at that. And there's a lot of, you know, there were the accompanying bills that were passed that to move the money around to afford this that were approved earlier. There's a lot of money in the sewer operating fund. There's about $12 million in cash that we accrue over time, and it's there to be used for capital, and that's why we're moving this money over now. So we have an opportunity to do that now with the money that's available, and we don't have to borrow any money because we have that cash available.
And is this going to happen all at once? You're going to be displaced for a while? And
they're doing it in phases. So because it needs to stay in operation with their offices, so we're going to move some offices around. The lab is going to shift into a different space. So it's going to be done in several phases to try to keep them in business, if you will, while we do it. That's why it's going to take about a year to get this done.
And how old is the plant that they're renovating?
1950s is when it was built. And quite honestly, some of these spaces do look like they're still from the 50s.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion from members of council? Thank you, Mr. Pascola. We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert.
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm.
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith.
Aye.
Dr. Enix.
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek.
Aye.
Ms. Leon.
Aye.
Mr. Blum.
Aye. Passes 7-0. Please read Resolution 10H.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, the Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials as deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Integrity Mechanical Incorporated to perform mechanical construction for renovations at the wastewater treatment plant. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion?
Call the roll. Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatkowski?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-I.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem that the Mayor and Controller and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor hereby authorized to execute an agreement with Integrity Mechanical Incorporated to perform plumbing construction for renovations at the wastewater treatment plant. The resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? We'll call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Resolution 10-J.
Be it resolved by the Council of the City of Bethlehem, Mayor and Controller, and or such other city officials deemed appropriate by the City Solicitor, are hereby authorized to execute an agreement with FIS LLC to perform electrical construction for renovations at the wastewater treatment plant. Resolution is sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Discussion? Please call the roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. It passes 7-0. I'll accept a motion and a second to consider resolutions 10K and 10L as a group.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dr. Van Wert, second by... It helps when I look.
Yeah.
Motion by Ms. Wilhelm, second by Dr. Enix. Any discussion on the motion? We'll call the roll.
Certificates of appropriateness, Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. Please read the COAs.
Certificates of appropriateness under the provisions of the Act of the Pennsylvania Legislature, Bethlehem resolutions are granted for 322 East 3rd Street to replace existing signage with acrylic letters and 1 East 4th Street to replace existing signage with new non-illuminated wall-mounted signs. Resolutions are sponsored by Dr. Enix and Ms. Leon.
Any discussion on the two COAs? We'll call roll.
Dr. Van Wert?
Aye.
Ms. Wilhelm?
Aye.
Ms. Ramsey Smith?
Aye.
Dr. Enix?
Aye.
Ms. Kwiatek?
Aye.
Ms. Leon?
Aye.
And Mr. Colon?
Aye. Passes 7-0. So that concludes our agenda. Any new business from members of council? Ms. Ramsey Smith?
I just want to say that without taking any sides, I just feel that based upon the public input from the firefighters tonight, it is really important that the city administration work with the fire department to try to address the concerns and any conflict, because I know we all agree that the public safety entity such as the fire department is vital to the protection of our city, and I hope that we can work together to try to dispel any disarray or get rid of any disarray or conflict within the fire department.
Yeah, I would just add, I believe they voted on May 18th, which was Thursday. I met with Mr. Slapsky on Tuesday, May 23rd. I told him that we would review his concerns and we would get back to set up a meeting. The next day, Wednesday, May 24th, Mr. Jello reached out with a number of dates. On Friday, May 26th, Mr. Slapsky responded back with June 9th being the date that he could attend. So we are meeting with them on Friday at 1 p.m.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman Ramsey Smith. Any other new business for members of council? Ms. Leo?
I just wanted to acknowledge Kim, Carol Smith, and Carolina Hernandez for their amazing work on the Southside sale. Over 25,000 raised this year. That's going to go right back into Southside programs, which is awesome. It's just one of those examples. I used to hate the move-out week because it's wild over there. But partnerships like this, or like with Fishery Properties, Lewis Intel, trying to make time for people to come through and pick some of the best stuff that's there, so it's not any of the landfills. Those are great things that can happen. Really good examples of like that community partnership. It's great to see you out here, facility. And I look forward to helping you connect with Southside community members so we could talk about y'all's grand vision.
Any other new business for members of council? Get home safely, everyone. This meeting is adjourned.
Next time.